You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. And now we're going to hear about a successful campaign which led to the creation of a safe puffin crossing in Dipton, a small village located in County Durham. Joining me to tell us more is RNIB's regional campaigns officer, Lewis Winton, and campaign supporter, Julie Morton. It is lovely speaking with you both today.
Hello, Polly. Hello. Lovely to speak to you.
Now, Julie, let's start with you. Would you mind telling us why was it so important that this crossing was built in Dipton? Why did the residents feel it was so necessary?
Well, through Dipton, we are located on a very busy road, the A692. It carries lorries, heavy goods, buses, and an immense amount of traffic. We haven't got a single, what you call, controlled crossing. Right throughout the village, we have little islands, which you take your life in your hands to stand in the middle of. I come from a family of hereditary eye condition called retinitis pigmentosa. And over the years, local residents have tried all different angles to get some sort of crossing. There's, even though there's been accidents, speeding, the islands have been flattened several times. Our local council, they always came back with different reasons not to go ahead. So me and my brother thought something needs to be changed, something needs to be done. We're both in the advanced stages now of retinitis pigmentosa. So our eyesight is in rapid decline. And even from the beginning of this campaign, which I think we set up in round about 2018, it's deteriorated even more. So you know, the RNIB, let's get them behind us on this one. We heard a lot of good things about the campaigns team, and we were introduced to Lewis, which I'm absolutely delighted. Managed to rally and get local councillors on board and just the residents and everything, school, all sorts, to get behind this. And here we are today celebrating the success of a lot of hard work, but it couldn't come at a better time for me because I've gone through cancer treatment last year and I've had an even further decline in my eyesight. So it couldn't have come at a better time because I no longer would try and cross that road in any other place because it's just not safe to do so anymore.
Well, Lewis, let's jump over to you now because as Julie said, they reached out to you. They told you about this big campaign that's been going on for a while and it's not been successful. What were your initial thoughts and how did you proceed?
When I was initially contacted from John, Lisa, Julie and the family and the residents of Dipton, and I made the journey across to Dipton, I was really alarmed by the fact that there was no safe signal control crossing in the village at any point. Now, to give some more context to what Julie mentioned, so Dipton is a village essentially, and you've got one main road running through the village. On one side of the road, you've got the vast majority of the housing estate. And on the other side of the road, you've got kind of your local amenities, such as your local GP surgery, your local pharmacy, your local coffee shop, the local village primary school. So it was absolutely essential that there was a safe crossing provision, not just for blind and partially sighted people, but for mums and dads with pushchairs and prams, for the elderly with reduced mobility, for those with learning disabilities, and for the wider community, broadly speaking. But when I attended Dipton, I know the very first day, I can vividly remember it, John, Julie and Lisa and I, we went out to the A692 and we got some video footage of John and Julie trying to cross that road. Both stood there with their long canes, and the number of cars that went past on that road that were speeding, it was just impossible for John and Julie to cross that road safely. Now, we know from lots of kind of extensive research that puffing crossings, signal control crossings, are the most safe, accessible and inclusive crossings out there. And prior to this crossing being installed, as Julie mentioned, there was only kind of what we call pedestrian island crossings, which fundamentally rely on eye contact. And for somebody that's living with sight loss, that is impossible.
Absolutely.
So obviously you've been successful. So engaging with RNIB was a very good choice on Julie's part.
It certainly was, yeah. It was a pleasure to sit down with them. And I think I remember that first day we sat down, we had a cuppa, we sat and discussed the campaign. And I was alarmed by the fact that John, Julie and Lisa made me aware that village residents in Dipton had been campaigning for the council for many, many years. Now, this particular road has, you know, a historical accident record. So it was very alarming how the fact the council didn't realise or recognise that a crossing needed to be installed for the safety and welfare of constituents. Now, we sat and reflected on what worked well, what hadn't worked so well, you know, what could village residents do differently to get this campaign installed. And I think it was at that point where we sat down and we mutually agreed to kind of get more and more people involved in the campaign. So we collaborated at that point with the village primary school. We got Dipton Partnerships involved. We got public support from the local MP. We got unwavering support from the ward councillors who have been superb right throughout the whole campaign process. We got people like the local Vision Rehabilitation Sensory Team involved at Durham Council to write supporting letters. I know Lisa, John and Julie got a petition in the local post office that was signed by more than 300 village residents. So there was lots and lots of work that went behind this. But what we did do is we made sure that we made a really comprehensive case before we made an approach to the council. So when it came to sitting down with the senior management from the highways team, we could present all the support and information, all the support and evidence to them to really fight our corner to make sure that the council sat back and took notice of this particular issue. And again, it wasn't just an access issue. It fundamentally was a safety issue. And that was the point that we really, really drilled home to the council. And ultimately, I think that's what got us across the line.
When was the Puffin Crossing finally built in Dipton?
So the actual crossing itself, and Julie might have more knowledge of this, but I believe it was in late May of this year. So as we can appreciate, these things, you know, they don't happen overnight, unfortunately. A Puffin Crossing can cost anywhere from £85,000 to £100,000 for a local authority to install. So these things do take a long time. Now, to give more context regarding this campaign, after we got an official commitment from the senior highways team at Durham Council that the actual funding had been ring-fenced, they then got to go through kind of an internal process which assesses the footfall and also assesses the traffic flow. Now, councils call this a PV squared assessment. And essentially what happens is an engineer will go out to the site at a certain time of the day. They will make a calculation of the footfall. They'll make a calculation of the traffic flow. And then they'll come back and that has to meet a threshold. Now, this can be very subjective. It would all depend on what time this assessment was done, whether it was done at kind of peak traffic flow or was it done at midday. But ultimately, it come back and the council did say that it didn't meet the threshold. So unfortunately, that was a setback in the campaign. However, John, Julie and Lisa being the driving force behind the campaign, we rallied up the troops in Dipton and we pushed forward and we made a commitment with the council that it would go to their highways committee for a vote. So what we did is we got all of the supporting evidence, all of the information, all of the supporting letters from stakeholders, from our collaboration partners, and we submitted that to the highways committee. And that was in, I think it was in June of 2022, that got put to a formal vote in the council chamber at Durham County Council. And I'm delighted to confirm that that passed on a unanimous verdict. So from that point onwards, it's been then down to the planning team, the architects, and the engineers to contract that work out. And this essentially was a culmination of years and years of hard work. We've got a really good campaign success, which makes a huge, huge difference to local residents.
And speaking of the difference it makes, Julie, what does this Puffin Crossing mean to the local community?
It's just amazing. It's just a safety. It's just reassurance that you've got a safe place to cross. And it's the beginning of more measures to come, I think, you know, because they've already talking about using other measures either side of the village as well, of slowing traffic down and stuff. So it's like a catalyst as well. It's good.
I think it's really worth noting as well, the fact when it comes to Puffin Crossings, you know, you've got those audible beeps, which are paramount for blind and partially sighted people. You've got that tactile paving. You've got the tactile rotating cone on the actual Puffin Crossing itself. So there's lots of fundamental access features that just make that huge difference, give people that confidence to cross that road safely, where previous to the crossing being installed, John and Julie were dicing with death. They were literally, every absolutely. Time they crossed that road, they were putting their life at risk. And I'm just delighted to see now that, again, not only the impact it's having for John, Julie and other visually impaired residents, but it's the wider community as well. And the feedback's been wonderful, hasn't it, Julie?
Yeah, it has. It's been fantastic. It really has. And plus, like, say now, say I want to go, like, say I want to go to the chemist to get my prescription or the GP or to my child's school, I can do that independently rather than having to rely on somebody else having to get me there.
It is so nice to see that this has helped give back independence to yourself, Julie. And Lewis, for anyone listening who maybe is trying to campaign for something in their local community, I imagine they can reach out to RNIB campaigns team if maybe they need some support.
They certainly can, absolutely. So RNIB, we have a wonderful campaigns team, both on a regional and a national level. You can contact RNIB's regional campaigns team via our helpline, or you can email via campaigns@rnib.org.uk. If there's any concerns out there, please get in touch. We'd be more than happy to help. And as I say, you have a regional campaigns officer in every region across England, so please get in touch.
And as Lewis said, you can also call the RNIB helpline, and the number is 0303 123 9999. Well, this is such a lovely success story. Julie, Lewis, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paulina. It's our pleasure. Yep. And as I say, for all the listeners out there, please keep in touch. Please support the work that RNIB do. And if you do have any concerns, we'd be more than happy to assist with that.